Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Australians Jono from the Instagram show The Biz with Jono was originally from the UK. Jono trained at prestigious theatrical institutions such as the Betty Fox Stage School, the Birmingham School of Speech and Drama, and later training at the Midlands Academy of Dance and Drama. Jono worked as a professional paid actor from the age of 10, working in children's theatre, touring across the UK, and in pantomimes. Later, Jono worked as a dance teacher, covering classes for Theatre Train Nottingham, and has also worked in stage management and as a voiceover artist for local radio. Jono's path in the entertainment world was cemented when he and his family moved to Australia. He was asked to work for a music promoter as an artist liaison on a tour across Australia for the Totally 80s tour, wrangling eight international 80s acts on a reunion-type tour. Some of the names he worked with included Martika, Berlin, and Limahl. Next, Jono found himself working as a production assistant and looking after artists such as S Club 7, Boney M., Boy George, Billie Eilish, Dieter Fontis, Helen Reddy, and many more. He next turned his talents to hosting a radio show on community radio in both Melbourne and Perth, Australia, called The Biz with Jono, a showbiz-style entertainment radio show. When COVID hit, Jono turned to Instagram and continued his The Biz with Jono interviews live on the platform. Having interviewed over 170 artists from all over the world and genres, Jono has successfully celebrated his fifth live music event version of his show, where artists connect face-to-face and the audience enjoys a showcase of the freshest talent called exposure. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Jono from the Instagram show, The Biz with Jono. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
Hello. You can find me in Australia, in Melbourne, Victoria. Originally from Birmingham in the United Kingdom. I'm doing well. I just spent Christmas with COVID, which wasn't very great, but I know, on the mend, and it's really good weather here. So summer's arrived. So here I am.
Did it hit you quite badly?
Yes, I am. I'm one of those people that are blessed with an underlying illness and have type 1 diabetes.
Oh, okay.
So it really attacked me. So I've changed, this time around, I've changed my life, like my diet, just to help with that. It's been a lot better.
And had you had it before?
Once before, this sort of last year, for the first time when I was really poorly, almost had to go to hospital. With breathing and things like that. Yeah. But hey-ho.
You know, it's interesting because you're the first person I've heard in, my immediate circle. In South Africa, you don't really hear people saying anymore they've had COVID or COVID because they don't even test anymore in South Africa. So there's no testing. It's just like, okay, well, you're sick, just. But yeah, so it's sort of no longer a thing here. You're the first person in the longest while who I've heard has said, oh, they were sick with COVID, actually.
Well, Melbourne, Victoria was the longest lockdown city in the world. We were locked down for four or five months. I don't know, even longer, on and off. But it seems to be just a big thing here in Melbourne all the time.
Okay, so let's focus on something positive. Now let's read.
Come on,
let's do it. So let's focus on your journey in the entertainment world. I know you've been in various iterations, in various ways over a number of years. So let's dive into the various elements of how you've interacted in the world, in that world.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I mean, many moons ago, I started as like a child actor. Mm-hmm. And I was then taken out of school back in Birmingham to do paid professional theatre. So I was doing theatre in Birmingham, getting school outside of school and working and getting paid as an actor. did a few shows, fast forward to puberty, and then
so wait,
some more
just a pause, just a pause there. Was it only theatre shows or television as well?
At that time, theatre, but then you start to get work, extra work at the time, and then puberty hit, and then I grew up a bit, and then modelling. I did some fashion modelling for Benetton and things like that when I was a lot younger. I started getting voiceover casting work, radio ads, radio jingles, that kind of thing. As my dad said, I have a face for radio.
Rude.
Yeah, look, I definitely got bitten by the bug, did a few more shows. And then I went to like an older drama school for like teenagers and worked on accents and dialects and stuff like that. And then I went to, I moved after like high school, I moved to another location in England and I did a college. I don't know if anyone else does it, but it's after school, you go to college, then after college, you go to university in England. So I went to college and I did a 2-year full-time course in performing arts. And we learned more stuff about like stage management, production, set design. We did musical theater. We did singing, dancing, all that kind of stuff. I did a few shows whilst I was in there and then did stage management. Did some pantomime, which is a classic British Christmas tradition. I was in a couple of those, which was great. And then it was time to sort of, and we did exams. And so we had certain levels and certain different exams, like the London Academy of Music and Drama and Lambda and all these other musical theatre sort of grades. And then it was time to either go to university or, you know, go to drama school. I opted for the drama school, which because I wanted a more practical, you know, approach rather than, you know, more academic, studious kind of work. So I got into two drama schools, one of them, one in London, being one of the top drama schools on a musical theatre course. And then I got into another one in the West Midlands. And I went to that one because it was full funded. So I did a 3-year musical theatre degree, did some work and some theatre touring after, moved to London like everybody, like the big lights and the fame. Did auditions. I ended up getting some casting work at Scott Free, which is Ridley Scott's production house in Soho, getting down to the final there and again for a Disney movie. And then it just, fall out of love with it. I started just falling in love with boys and, you know, rock and roll, if you like, and sort of fell out of performing. And then had an ordinary life for many years after that. And then I worked in the travel industry. And then I had a normal, and then I went to Spain. I lived in Mallorca for a while and I picked up being an entertainer there. So we were MCs and compares on a big stage every night for like 7-8 months. So I kind of did a bit in between and we danced and we sang and we curated our own shows. And then I kind of settled back into Leeds in West Yorkshire. And there's always been a performer in me, but I kind of settled down with somebody and that was just not for me. And I needed to get out of there. And by this point, my parents had moved to the other side of the world. Didn't tell me. They just sent me a postcard. No, I'm joking. No, they moved to Australia. My brother had been over here. My sister had moved over with her boyfriend. And so I was like, it's a dead end relationship. So I'm leaving too. So I kind of moved over here and you can't start working straight away. You know, you're a tourist. So I needed a certain visa. Long story short, I got a working holiday visa and then I went onto a sponsorship visa. And for some strange reason, I just got a job in hotels, but I got a job in hotels in the best city in Australia for Cabaret Fringe. It's second to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It's probably one of the biggest festivals in the world. So I was in Adelaide. I was responsible for getting business into the hotel, basically, into the two properties. And so I started looking after Alice Cooper, Richard O'Brien, you know, Macy Gray, Dietz Von Teese, Boy George. The list goes on and on. Helen Reddy, Burt Bacharach. Lots of Australian celebrities, international celebrities, you know, Neil Diamond, you know, all these names that I grew up with as a child, yeah. The Dark, S Club 7, Atomic Kitten. And it just kept coming and coming. And I kind of met a promoter and got pulled out of it and he at Christmas, and he was like, I want you to do what you do at the hotel, but I want you to do it for me, and I'll come up with a role. So I ended up working on a show called the Totally 80s Tour, and I toured around Australia, which opened a lot of doors for me. And I kind of was a mix between the tour manager and the artist liaison was my role, taking people to the TV studios and working with them to get radio interviews done, just sort of running around after them and making sure they're going from A to B and running their meet and greets. And that's what I did for a few years. And I was then kind of, I just knew a lot of people, and I was, and I found myself going to gigs, being backstage at all these wonderful shows, meeting, you know, Ice Cube or Nas. You know, I just forget all these people that I've met. It's just a huge list. And the reason why I say that is because they're so comfortable around me, and that's got something to do with my background in performing. You know, I'm just very open and very easily approachable, and I build up rapport very quickly. And even if it's a rapper, I was making them laugh. You know, like Ice Cube's son was laughing at me. I like to make people laugh. So go forward a little bit more, and I ended up being in Perth, Western Australia. And I decided it was probably the time to just, you know, get back on stage somehow. And I'd never done it before. But I ended up doing stand-up comedy and doing a really successful show at the Comedy Lounge, sort of graduating on this comedy course. Doing another one when I moved back to Melbourne. And then, you know, COVID was really bad. And like I mentioned before, I was in the longest lockdown city in the world. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I then went to Instagram and I thought I'd start interviewing anyone that I knew. So, you know, calling on favors, like I had Natasha Hamilton from Atomic Kitten. You know, I had Michelle Heaton from Liberty X, and then I got Lamal from the 80s, Paul Lukakis. You know, I got all these singers, and then I started getting independent artists, drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, and it just grew, and I still do it to this day, on and off, not every week. And so after lockdown, I just wanted to meet some of these artists, especially if they were based here in Melbourne. So we did this very small event called Bizopolis, which is kind of a play on the name The Biz and an Acropolis, or a sort of gathering of people. And it was great to meet all these artists. We had some live music and we networked. And almost like six events later, I'm doing my sixth one this year, it's grown into this huge live networking music night here in Melbourne. And apart from that, I've started going to vocal lessons again. And you know, I'm always involved in the creative side. I work full time again in the entertainment industry. So it's kind of been a full circle moment. I don't want to be famous or anything like that, but I do have something within me that is yearning. You know, we're called thespians, aren't we? I guess, like, you know, it's like I have a yearning to, and you've got to be careful how you say that word in some parts of the world, especially if you've got a lisp.
Yeah.
It's a yearning in me. So that kind of the long and short of it. And you know, it's long winded. And if you're still listening, thank you for listening.
I am listening.
But that's kind of where I am in the world in entertainment. And I mean, I've really enjoyed this whole journey. Just I think you know, like it's really cliche and cheesy, isn't it? But you know, everything's meant to be. And I kind of wouldn't have it the other way. And all the people I've made friends with on the road, which is great. I forget, like I mentioned, like I didn't mention Boney M. I'm seeing them again in June. You know, there's all these people, the Venga Boys. It's like, it's crazy. But every time they're in town, then I get to catch up. So, yes.
So what are you doing? You said you're full time in the entertainment business now. So what exactly, besides the events that you mentioned, what else are you doing day to day?
So day to day, usually sort of new business for a travel company that put on tours. They do travel. So we look after the Australian Ballet. We look after Melbourne Theatre Company. We just did Christina Aguilera's tour. We do Cricket Australia. Anything TV, sports, creative, drama, theatre, film production like Thor up on the Gold Coast, Adele's tour. Ed Sheeran, like we do all the travel for that. And I go and I meet with the producers or the directors, the people that are in charge of making those decisions. And bringing a solution to them about sort of how they get from A to B is essentially what it's about. But it's,
Okay.
you got to knock on a lot of doors. And if you don't know what you're talking about within those pillars of each industry, especially that your live music's different to sport and sport's different for TV and film,
Yeah.
you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And people in those industries, they can see right through you. And they don't want to know half the time. They don't want a salesperson. So, you know, it's kind of, it's great that I've got that. And look, I'm going back as well. I actually forgot to say, for many years I was on a radio show as well. It was called The Biz with Jono, and that's kind of what emigrated over to Instagram.
Okay.
So those skills now really, and I've got to settle down and try and still not have a backup job, but I've got to have something that pays the bills. You know, and I love having that win. I love looking after clients. I love seeing, you know, a huge sports client or a huge tour going off, and I'm like sitting back, and I don't book the travel. That gets handed to a whole team of people. But
Yeah.
you know, I have those initial meetings with people and then sort of pass it over. You know, my boss, she's going to LA at the end of next month, and she's meeting with Marvel, you know, all those big film houses to talk about that kind of stuff. And it's really interesting because there's a lot of film, as well as like South Africa, there's a lot of film and movie production here, in Australia. So it's really exciting when I get to meet people like that, and they often talk about, you know, what I've done, and they ask about, you know, I mean, I almost got poached to work on a TV show once with Tim Minchin, but I couldn't because I was being sponsored on another visa, which was a damn shame.
I get the impression, and this is the way I interact with people, and I haven't discussed, I think I discussed it with you when you interviewed me for on Instagram. I think we did. And I get the impression you're the same. So for me, when I interact with anyone, it doesn't matter if they're the tea lady, if it's Christina Aguilera, or if it's the CEO, I keep reminding myself that everyone uses 2-ply toilet paper. Everyone's blood is red and everyone's poo is brown. So it's like, it doesn't, everyone's equal in my mind. So it doesn't like go, you know, this is this person, which means I need to interact with them differently to that person. I interact with everyone equally. And I get the sense that you are the same. It's not, there's, you see beyond the personas and you find the person underneath. And that's why you're approachable and they enjoy interacting with you because on an unconscious level, we peel away the personas, we peel away the masks. And we are able to see what's underneath, and that's who we speak to, and that's what those people like. Because a lot of people like when they, a lot of fans, when people are like, oh, it's this person, so you need to interact with them like this because it's this person. But no, they're just a bloody person, and they use 2-ply. There's no gold-plated toilet paper.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true, though. I mean, of course, certain people, there's a part inside me that's thinking, oh my God, how do you get into this situation? Like, you're driving this person, or you're running around with this, or you're hanging out in their suite with them, or.
I've got a lot of this, sorry to interrupt. I've got a lot of these people on WhatsApp. I got a voice note from Marcia from Boney M. I don't know if I told you. So
Yes.
I did tell you. So for the listeners, I interviewed Boney M a while ago, Marcia from Boney M, Marcia Barrett, and we've stayed connected. And she sent me a happy Christmas voice note. And I was like, playing it. I was like, this is a woman I've been listening to for years, and it's like weird, you know?
Comfortable for her to do that, and she probably hasn't done that to anybody. So that's why, and that's like a testament of what we do, you know. And you know, all these independent artists that I'm dealing with for the event that I do, which is called Exposure, you know, bringing people together like that, and just they all come up to me and they go, oh, thank you, you know, and they talk about this, you know, it's this community and this family and bringing them together in the way I'm, you know, my energy. And I don't think, I just don't give myself a chance or think, and I don't pat myself on the back. I don't know what comes over me, but when it comes to entertainment, it's just something that I do. I bring people together. That's what I'm really good at. I'm great at spotting talent. But you know, I probably need to listen to other people do say that I have talent. I don't like to hear that, and I don't want to. And that's something that I'm working on, and I will release something one day, not as like an album or anything. I'm not talking about that. It might just be a cover of a musical theater song, and I just put it out into the world and let people make their own decisions. But you know, I want to do that before my voice goes. But that's kind of where I am today.
When you interview our artists and have watched you and whatever, do you do a lot of research beforehand or not really?
I'll look at their link tree. I'll go on the website. It depends on the guest. If it's an independent artist, I like to keep it quite light and quite fresh. and it's just kind of scratching the surface. We don't go too deep. And you know, I had an ex-boyfriend that used to say that. So no, I'm joking. Sorry, this is a rated 15 audience show. No, I like to scratch the surface. It's not too dark. The questions could have multiple answers. They're very similar. You know, describe your first time on stage. What do we expect from a Celeb Saman gig, or, you know, a Barrett gig, or a Jono gig? And they'll tell me what I can expect. And then it might be thrown in with a silly question at the end, sort of to say, you know, best describe, what alcoholic beverage describes you best? Say, oh, like a Bloody Mary, you know, because I'm spicy, but, you know, I've got one of you five a day, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. But if it was somebody like I had on, like Nicholas Brendan from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I had him on, and I had a lot of questions. I'd done some research, but he just spilled the tea. He was talking about David Boreanaz, Sarah Michelle Gellar. And he was just spilling the tea, and it was piping hot. And it went on for about an hour. And in the end, I had to, like, I was almost running out of time because Instagram only gives you so much time.
Yeah.
I had to sort of wrap it up. And I was so, I could have spoken to him for hours. You know, Patricia Kelly, Gene Kelly's wife, his last wife. Again, there was so much good content there. I prepared a lot of questions because I think with these people, you do have to show a level of professionalism and not ask questions that you know are going to upset them. I think with independent art, I can keep quite broad and quite general. You know, asking them things like, you know, what's your most pinch yourself moment? I might know that they've been on the X Factor and they've won it, or they got to the final three, but that's up to them to tell me how they interpret that question.
Yeah.
So they might talking about another opportunity that they've had that they actually think stood out to them.
Yeah.
Whereas some in the public eye, I've done a lot more research. So yes, I do research, and a lot of them I've been watching for a while, so I already kind of know a lot about them anyway, or I've been watching them because they're handpicked. So I already kind of know where they are, what they're doing, what album's coming out. I just like to sort of, you know, dissect it a little bit and let them tell me. It's almost like squeezing a sponge and just letting all the liquid squeeze out, or, you know what I mean?
But I think with you, and you the same as me, is that when you interview people, it's not about the clickbait. It's not about who they're shagging, what they had for breakfast, why they took a picture with this person. And I was like, I can't stand that nonsense. For me, again, and I gather you the same when you interview people, you're going beyond the persona and you're speaking to the person about them, their creativity, who they are and what they are.
It's about the connection. We're all humans at the end of the day. I love, as you can tell, and anyone that's listening to this latest podcast, I like to talk. Right. So, you know, I can talk the hind legs off a donkey. I just like conversation. I like to speak to people that I've never met before. I like to connect with people just like this, you know, bringing two countries together on a phone or, you know, connecting it to people across the world that I would never have dreamt of or even ever heard of. And then people that I have heard of, you know, having that conversation. And yeah, there might be some questions in there. You know, you find yourself asking someone, but you kind of want to know, it's like, tell me, how did you get into this? Like, have you always had a talent for playing guitar, or you always sang? How did you get, or potentially were you doing another job in the theater? Like, I just like to talk and discover. And it's very conversational, and I guess that's why we both love what we do, and we're still doing it.
Okay, so putting you on the spot, I know that these questions, and I'm going to ask a few of them, I know if I had to ask you this in 2 days, 2 hours, 10 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time, because there are thousands and millions of them in each of the categories I'm going to be asking you.
Gosh.
But in this moment, in these moments that we're speaking now, and the first that comes to mind, I'm not saying favorites. I mean, I'm not saying favorites. I'm just saying as it happens. So, three artists that you haven't interviewed that you'd still like to interview.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. And it can be completely anyone. There's a lady in America. There's an artist called, I think it's Shayla Hope.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty cool. I've sort of been watching her for a while. She did sort of engage with me, but now she just keeps growing and growing in popularity. So, we're trying to get something in. So maybe one of the Spice Girls, because they're iconic. Maybe, Scary Spice or Mel C, like one of those. And then, so I've done an independent artist, a popular one, and maybe David Attenborough. I think he's such a legend, and we can't claim him as our own in the UK anymore. And I don't live there. I haven't lived there for a long time. But the whole world love him. Like, he's just an icon in what he does. So I think those three. I mean, if I was to go and say, I mean, God knows, I'd love to talk to Boy George. I've talked to him privately, but I'd love to have an interview with him because he's just so funny. Like, I just get his sense of humor. He's a little bit like me. I wouldn't say temperamental, but like he's just feisty as well. I just love that feist. And he's always got it. I just love it. I love his sense of humor. When I first met him, he saw my brother in the corner of the room because my brother was waiting for me to finish the hotel. And George had seen him. And I was walking George to the elevator and I was taking him up to the suite. And he goes, "Who's that boy in the corner?" And I went, "Oh, it's my brother. He's just waiting for me." He went, "Is he gay?" I went, "No." He went, "He will be. Let me have a look at him." So George snatches my phone out of my hand and asks to see my brother's Facebook. And he's scrolling through my brother's Facebook. And he goes, "Is he coming to the show?" I said, "No, George, he lives in Melbourne." Like, I was in Adelaide at the time. And he goes, "Tell him he's on the guest list and he's coming to Melbourne." So and then from then on, like, since literally just recently, we've seen each other nearly every single time apart from COVID. And it's the team that invites me along, and he knows who I am. And like, he did a radio bite for me once, a radio ID, and I might even post that later on my story. But it's so much fun. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Biz with Jono. I'm Boy George. He's not."
That's
And
good.
then he sings at the end of it, which is really, really cool. But yeah, so I mean, those are the people I'd love to interview. I'd love to interview George. But yeah, I mean, let's keep fingers crossed. There were a few towards the end of COVID that said yes, but then, started to work again. And I was like, damn, nearly had them, like nearly had them, but I
Yeah,
will
but that's
work
the
on
thing
them.
is with me, is like, I don't give up. I'm like a dog with a bone. Okay. So one of my colleagues says he's got the three email rule. If he says it, sends an email after three response and they don't get a response on three times, he doesn't follow up. And for me, if I had that attitude with my interviews, I've done over 200 interviews. And like I said, if I had that attitude for the interviews, I would have maybe had 15. So like, I remember I was with Shanice. So I interviewed her last year around, I don't know, February, March. I sent an email to her person the previous August. And he came back to me and says, "Is it going to be in person or is it going to be virtual?" So I said, "No, it's going to be virtual." No feedback, no feedback. So I don't email every day, but like I'll email a week, 2 weeks later, follow up, follow up, follow up. And I remember it was like February last year, February 2023. And it was around the 14th email. He hadn't responded to the previous 12. And I sent an email on the fr Thursday or Friday. I'm like, okay, I'm going to send an email saying, when can we book Shanice? And I thought, if I don't have a response by this one, I'm going to leave it for 8 months and then try again at the end of the year. And he responded straight away. He said, okay, cool. Let's do Monday. So reminding them, that you're here. And then every time, like I email, I'll give updates of who I've interviewed, who've added to the list, et cetera, et cetera. If you had to play five songs by different artists
Oh,
once we finish this conversation, what would those five
no.
songs be and by who? First five that come to mind.
All right. Kylie Minogue, Turn It Into Love. Jean Castel, Replay This Again. Boy George, Culture Club, Karma Chameleon. Let's have a think. I would say, oh, RuPaul, Catwalk.
Yes.
Sharon Needles, Flamin' Hot.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. So, as a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
I mean, it's like world peace and that kind of stuff, obviously. But, it's a very challenging and strange time at the moment. And I was thinking about this the other day. There's a lot of people saying that technology is going to go down and that we're not going to have the internet Wi-Fi, cellular connectivity, phones, and that's going to happen in 2025, apparently. So
I
it's
haven't
just
heard
kind
any
of,
of this, but anyway,
I
yeah.
like, well, I think I need to move to South Africa then, because there's the solar flare. There is all this war in, the Ukraine and Russia, Gaza,
Yep.
Israel. There's two massive wars right there. Then there's all this stuff with Korea, and Russia and America, and then America are urging the British and French to support them in this missile strike. And there's all this horrible weather all around the world. So what I'm getting at is, I think we just need to take a moment to step back and appreciate some of the smaller things, and be kind to one another. Life is definitely too short. Enjoy music, enjoy this podcast, and make sure everyone subscribes weekly, monthly, or just presses that. And obviously, come over to Instagram and follow me on The Biz with Jono. But I just think, just to connect, take time to speak to people with respect. Enjoy those people that you've got around you. They're there for a reason. And just, it sounds cheesy, extra cheddar. I love it. But, I've learned a lot as I'm getting older. It certainly just puts things into perspective. And if the world doesn't go to shit, then just be appreciative and start looking after what we've got a little bit more, and respecting the land and the people and so
Yeah.
forth. So, yeah, I would say. And listen to music and just be yourself and be happy and love who you want to love.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook @CelebSavant. That's CelebSavant.